The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I'm Arielle Lori, host of the Blonde Files podcast, where every Wednesday I cover all things wellness. After nearly dying from drugs and alcohol 6 years ago, I've been on a mission to live my best, most fulfilled life, and I'm sharing everything with you. From how to achieve optimal health, well-being, and fulfillment, to the best beauty tips and even cosmetic procedures, I cover it all with raw, candid conversations with experts and inspirational guests. Make sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
Hey guys, welcome to Who's On Content, a show that explores and dissects the influential, behavioral altering power of content through thought-provoking, culturally relevant, and industry-shifting dialogues. I'm your host, of course, EJ, Head of Special Projects at DBA, and I'm so fucking excited for you to join me on this journey of getting to know the innovative leaders and creators in our insanely addictive industry of content marketing. I mean, if content is the only influencer of behavior, we might as well figure out who's on content. Let's get into it. Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Who's on Content. And today in the studio, we have a content creator, a change maker, an activist, a licensed therapist. We actually have the one, the only Keir Gaines. Now, Keir is someone who is changing the narrative and really challenging the stereotypes as it relates to Black men and how Black men show up not only for themselves, but as Black fathers to their children, to their wives, and to their families. Keir's social journey really exploded in 2020 after the untimely murder of George Floyd, where he and his daughter recorded a video of him talking about mental health and talking about his feelings very much in a raw and honest way, and in a way in which people could receive it during a time where everyone was challenging how we looked at each other as human beings. Born and raised in the Southeast Quadrant of Washington, D.C., Keir is a husband, father, community leader, and licensed therapist who has used his platforms to amplify the importance of self-awareness, self-growth, and mindfulness. Through his advocacy, Keir has inspired millions of people to be more proactive in their mental health journey and to simply reframe the way that they think about life, relationships, and especially parenting. Keir's unique, transparent, and authentic approach to mental health has received recognition from celebrities like Oprah and Viola Davis, and he's been hired to speak for events at the White House, NASA, and Amazon Studios, to name a few. Keir was also recently honored by Emmy Award-winning actor Sterling K. Brown and Auntie O on OWN's special Honoring Our Kings, Celebrating Black Fatherhood. I know that you are going to glean so much from my conversation with Keir, and I hope you follow him online and just see the amazing work that he is doing, not only through his work as a licensed therapist, but also through the brand partnerships that he is able to secure that really just unite and continue to further cultivate the community that he and his amazing wife, Noemi, are cultivating. They are truly two of the most amazing people and human beings. And like I said, I know you're going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, let's just get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend. Keir Gaines is in the studio with us today. Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, thank you for having me. That is a ridiculous intro. Listen, if you're listening to this joint, don't let him hype you up. If I don't know. I don't want to lead you up to set you up.
Listen, we already know why you are here, why you are always on content, why your beautiful family is always on content. So we had to have you, not just because you are an amazing client of ours at DBA. You know, you're a part of this DBA family. Shout out to Christina and the team. But your content really is creating a brave space for men to work through being a man. And what does that mean emotionally, mentally, physically, and financially? And so before we dive into all of that, I always like to ask our guests, how do you define content?
Well, first off, thank you. That's a huge compliment.
Of course.
Christina, my manager, her team, Kayla and Desiree, shout out to DBA. I call y'all my record label. Still
you already know.
Content to me is anything you make that can be consumed digitally, that empowers, inspires, motivates, informs or entertains me.
Okay. And have you always created content that was informative, that was inspiring? Before we knew you as this viral sensation, having this beautiful conversation with his daughter, blowing up and giving all the therapy gems and having us challenge ourselves mentally and how we show up for ourselves and for others, what was the upbringing that kind of got you to where you are today?
It's crazy because I've done a million podcasts and people interview me about what I think or how I practice, but never like me, my actual story really happened.
Because this is the content. That's why it's always on content. What is the content that you consume that created you?
That's so smart. It's EJ is so crazy, man. I grew up in Washington, D.C. I grew up in a very poor, crime-riddled, violence-riddled neighborhood, drug-infested, the whole nine. And I can't say that my childhood inspired me to be where I am today, but it led to building blocks. I started off rapping when I was 11 or 12 years old. I wanted to be a rapper.
Okay.
And I was creative enough to put words together in a certain way, and I started writing songs. And as I got older, I got better and better, got my mom's encouragement, ended up doing talent shows, ended up being on Howard University, doing freestyle battles. Right. Yeah, man, I was getting busy. And I think all the freestyling and the rapping and the performing taught me how to feel my way around the audience, walk in a room and how to command attention automatically, not just by being loud, but by being captivated.
Like, not just by being loud, but by being captivating. It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can say nothing brilliantly and people will think that you're brilliant. We outweighs the message all the time. People don't remember what you said. They just remember how they felt.
Yep.
Yeah, that prepared me. And then later on in life, you know, I'm from the hood. I ended up doing some things that weren't so great. Ended up realizing I'm a terrible drug dealer. That is not my lane.
Listen, but that is the content of life, right? You use the tools, you use the resources that were available to you. And who's to judge you based on the available resources? These are the resources. I'm playing the hand that I was dealt so I can put food in my mouth.
Absolutely. And now for me, it's more so how am I going to judge myself? Because this environment is different from that.
Ooh, let's talk about that. What is this environment that you are referring to?
This environment is this mix of Hollywood and real life. It's an environment where celebrities I've looked up to my entire life know my name and actually want to have dialogue and build friendships with me. I'm in these spaces with people who I would say are powerful and not always realizing that I'm in that room because I'm of the same ilk. Feeling comfortable in spaces where nobody around looks like you.
Feeling comfortable.
Yeah, so that's the transitional point for me, being okay with the attention, being okay with the power, being okay with the visibility. I think a lot of people spend their lives hoping that someone will notice them to that capacity. But if 380,000 people started following you today, you will automatically become super conscientious of every single word that comes out of your mouth, every motion, every reference, every retweet, every reshare. So it's just battling all them different things, bro, and still finding time to be normal, everyday me. You know?
Like you said earlier, rapping, freestyling, going to these different spaces and places, knowing that you could navigate the room based on your rhymes. It's almost like your work now online has prepared you and allows you to navigate the different rooms that you're in because you've done this before.
Absolutely.
Now it's just online versus verbal, but it's still verbal. It's verbally shared online.
Yeah, same skills, different stage. If you rapping and you bouncing and you're doing your thing and I'm feeling it, then what you do, like sometimes I'll stop the beat and I'll have whoever's on stage hyping me up, give me a and I'll get down with the audience and start going in a different way. It's realizing that, oh, what I'm giving off, what I thought it was, ain't what it's coming through like for them.
Yep.
So let me change something as opposed to becoming super self-conscious and saying, oh, this is bad. I'm never going to do it. You know,
you meet the audience where they're at. And in terms of meeting the audience where they're at, I think that's the perfect segue into you challenging the stereotypes of Black men, because I think why you are who you are and who you've always been is someone that understands all of the issues that face Black men, but still but still I rise, right? You still show up for yourself. You still show up for your community. And tell us about the video that really changed everything for you.
Man, it was a video of, it's a video that came out 2 years ago. It's probably
2 years ago. This was like pre-panty. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It was right after, it was timing, honestly, because I think George Floyd had just been killed.
Mm. Like,
so the country was in this place where we were really having a collective grappling of how we view black men and black fathers and criminality. And we were just challenging our own beliefs on that thing. And I dropped a video that was basically me, shirt off, walking down the street, holding my, at the time, 1.5-year-old daughter. Actually, she just turned 2. And we were just talking about therapy. Mm-hmm. I turned to the camera and I was just giving my testimony. You know, you see me and my wife and we, black couple goals, black magic goals, all of that.
Yeah. But y'all don't
see all of the work that we put in. And I encourage men that, listen, if go see somebody, go see a professional about all the things you've been through in life, mm-hmm. and how they impacted you. Because if you don't, you'll have all of this, the family, the car, the house, the picket fence, the little dog. Yep. You'll have all this and you'll never be happy. Mm. And I wasn't even going to put it out at first. I thought I was talking too much because me being a tall 6'1", dark skinned black man, I believe that no one gives a damn about what I think and feel.
That's what the content shows.
Yeah. Yeah, but how would I know that it will be received like that? I thought maybe men that look like me be like, yeah, that's pretty cool, bro. I didn't expect people from across the world who physically share none of my traits.
Yes.
Storyline have nothing in common with me. They resonate with that on a really human level. I was so surprised. I almost didn't put it out.
Listen, but you said the critical thing, a human level. We are all human beings. People probably saw that video and was like, that's just a human expressing their emotions and what it means to be human. We all have felt inadequate. We have all felt unsafe at some point. Yeah. And some of those are the worst feelings. So at a time where everyone's in the house bored, you know, it was a beautiful time for you to be seen because the country needed to know a black man died, but there are millions of other black men that are dying every day because of the circumstances that are placed in front of them.
Oh, absolutely, man. And somebody asked me during an interview, said, what do you think makes this video different? And I don't know because I'm too close to it. Like, these are my thoughts. But if I had to guess, it's the tone. When people talk to men, even when men talk to men about mental health or doing better, it's a very pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
Stop crying.
You know, talk about buttercup type of conversation. Yeah. This is not empathetic. It doesn't say, hey, I understand. It doesn't say, hey, it's okay. It's softness there.
Yes.
And that's how I approached it because that's how I wish somebody would approach me when I was at my lowest point and I was struggling with those things.
Yeah.
And I benefited from them words.
Did that encourage you to get into therapy because you wanted to basically be a resource that wasn't provided to you?
That I wish that'd be a dope story if that were the case.
Give us the real.
Nah, not at all. So I think it was multiple things. What encouraged me to go to therapy is right before my first daughter was born.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that if I didn't go and have somebody help me sort through my very complicated thoughts at the time, I was going to end up bleeding on this child. And I knew she didn't deserve that. And what kind of encouraged me to become a therapist is I've worked in workforce development. And I think working in a community and helping people gain and secure employment gave me a really unique perspective just in terms of how to approach difficult things. Yeah. And it made me fall in love with asking the why. It made me fall in love with human behavior. And I took the next step forward.
Okay.
And I ended up meeting a whole bunch of therapists that looked like me and sound like me.
The content was content. And you was like, I could be a part of this content. I can contribute to this content.
I can do this. It's possible. And ended up finding a program that paid for my complete master's, man.
Shout out to the program. What was the name of the program?
So it's a program by the Rehabilitation Service Administration, RSA, because I got a degree. It's like the licensed therapist, the talk therapist that you know about, licensed counselor.
Yep.
It's also a certified rehabilitation counselor. And that's someone who helps people with disabilities get back to work.
Interesting.
Functioning. Yeah. So I got a dual degree. And I didn't
black man. I got a dual degree. Listen. Just changing the narrative, just changing the shit. I love it.
Free dude degree, but it's been really beneficial just in terms of me reaching out to communities and different people to relate to folks who aren't like me. It all funnels back to the same thing. You said the content be content, what you say?
Yeah, the content be content. And you know what? Like you said, you can relate to people because you are who you are. You are not mincing your words. You show up. Black man, listen, I'm from D.C. I'm from gorgeous Prince George. It's the only place to be from. And I hear all of that, like, little twang we got and all of the isms that just make us, like, that swag. You don't hide who you are. And I think that that is why your video resonated. That is why your content resonates.
It's so interesting you take that away from me because that's how I see you. But that's not how I see myself, actually. When I talk sometimes, but thank you for saying that. You of just course. Kind of... feel me? When I talk sometimes, I find myself putting more emphasis on the ending of my words and trying to be a little bit more technically sound with the way I use my words. I don't want any, they told me for the longest time I was on the meeting, it's like, man, I don't know if brands ever going to rock with you because you're a little bit too black.
Because that's what the content said. What do you mean? Don't be too black. Don't be too me. But that is why I think you are succeeding because not only are you, you also have a team behind you that celebrates you, right? All of the content. So when people actually see the fullness of someone, you can fully support them. And I think that that is why I was so happy to hear that you created your first men's event, which I want you to tell us about, because you fully see yourself and are fully realized with your beautiful wife, Noemi, your two beautiful daughters. They affirm you as a black man because even the black community, we don't talk about black men. We say black women, we say black children, we say black families or black people. We don't never say black men. And all when they do say black men, they be like, black men ain't shit. Well, you done left them out of every opportunity. There is no empowerment brunch for him to go to and be refilled every Saturday. So how do we expect black men to show up for themselves or show up for others when there are no spaces for them to be refilled? And you created that space. And tell me, what was the catalyst for that space that you created?
Man, you said so much just now. We're in this time and space where everyone is like hyper fixated on being unapologetic and showing up as your full self. I think that it's more lip service than it is reality. I think people who can show up as themselves unapologetically 100% in every space are a very tiny percent of the population.
Boom.
A lot of us struggle. A lot of us are apologetic about our appearance. A lot of us are apologetic about the way that we show up in the world. And it needs to be okay. It needs to be okay to be that way. And then on the end, be encouraged to just try to be a little bit different. What made me kick out of coming up and saying, hey guys, welcome. Or, you know, you guys, I'm super excited about this opportunity. Yeah. Like, nobody talks like that. But I had to like slowly lean into who I was. I did one brand. I can't remember who it was. In case we ain't supposed to do this, I ain't going to say their name, but I had on a pair of J's. And they didn't see anything about it. I was like, all right. Then we did another brand shoot and I said, ain't. Ooh, controversial, right? Ooh,
he said, ain't. Ain't a word.
I said, ain't. And they ain't give me no revisions back. And after a while, I said, man, I'm about to let my full accent, I'm about to let it chop and fly. And it took me about 2 years to be comfortable being this version of myself.
But doesn't it feel good?
It does. It's liberating. It is. It's also scary because
Just tell somebody else that. Thank you. Yes, it is very scary. It feels good, but it's scary as shit because you are going to piss people off.
Oh, yeah. It's big scary because not everybody is going to like the kind of people that you show up in the world as. But that's a them thing. If
that's
you don't like
them thing.
Yeah, that's a you thing. That doesn't belong to me. The black men's event. I ain't going to let EJ sit here and act like he ain't had no hand in it. Me and EJ and my wife went to lunch one time. I only talked to this dude maybe twice before we were on a panel together. And maybe a telephone conference.
Yep.
And we sat and we ate and we talked about this event. And EJ, you really empowered me to do this thing because you said out of your mouth, black straight men don't have anything.
No.
One thing that I'm grappling with now is the fact that men, particularly straight men, have in the history of the world have done a lot to oppress a lot of groups of people. And the world is built for men's comfort. And we've come to a place where more is being asked out of men. Even though more is being asked, there's not a lot of sympathy for the fact that there's a gap in between the bandwidth and the expectation.
Yes.
So it's like, toughen up, buttercup. Like, even from women.
I love that.
Oh, being a father is hard. Did you push a baby through your vagina?
I say this with our CEO all the time, and we're like, guys, multiple things can be true at the same time. Like, we got to believe that.
Absolutely. Two things that hold competing priorities can both hold truth in space. Yes. You just have, you can't hold another group's head underwater to make your voice louder. And when I walk in the room, the assumption sometimes is that I'm going to hold everybody in the water to make my voice louder. It's assumed that I'm going to trample over people's mm-hmm. words. I'm going to misinterpret people on purpose. I'm going to gaslight folks. The structure of men that we built up, the social that is true in a lot of different cups and not true in some.
Yep.
And when I walk in, I don't just represent me. I represent every man that is frustrated, harassed, yep. or disrespected you in your entire life. And it's such an unfair hill to climb for someone who's like, I'm really trying to get on your page and understand.
Yeah.
So on one side, I got to deal with that. And on the other side, I got to still advocate for myself. I got to be sensitive to it, but I still have to advocate and say, no, we need things to challenge popular perspectives.
Yep.
Absolutely need that with respect.
What was the name of the men's event?
It was just called The Conversation. And it was the premise of, hey, I think that the modern mental health movement excludes men in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. It heavy on the criticism, which I appreciate. And it calls us out, but it does not do a good job of calling us in. Mm. It does not do a good job of meeting us where we are. It's not like, you need to help your wife more with this. You need to make sure you do that more in society. And it's like, okay, where's the how piece? Because expectations.
Where's the fucking how?
Yeah, you need to just know. But if you don't know, then you don't know. I learned that working with kids with emotional disorders. Well, why can't he just sit in the seat? Well, why doesn't he? He can't because he can't.
He can't. He doesn't know how.
We have to meet him where he is. And nobody likes meeting an oppressor where they are.
Yes.
But when people are struggling with understanding, everyone wants to be met where they are.
Mm.
Such a skewed viewpoint.
Such a skewed viewpoint. And because you are who you are able to create that brave space for men to look at you in your J's, with your ain'ts and your chuz and the, you know, and be like, this brother's just like me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's not like you're the first black therapist, but you, for some, and I would say for many, are the first black male therapist that they've seen that they actually see themselves in.
That's crazy, man. I can see that. I'm too close to it. I don't see that, but I can see how that could be a thing. Absolutely.
Imagery is truly important, which is why we say representation matters. That's why I said you remaining true to who you are is the gateway to a lot of healing for a lot of men.
Yeah.
Which is why your content works, which is why content like DeVal's works, which is why content like Kev on Stage works. You guys are yourselves at all times, and black men can see themselves through you because you're not doing anything differently but being yourself and sharing yourself with other people.
I appreciate that. Shout out to DeVal and Kev on stage.
Yeah, shout out to
them. Real life, man. They some dudes and some strong family, man. I was talking about this on my IG Live earlier, that sometimes we need permission to kind of be ourselves. I know everyone's apologetic. I know. I get it. But some of us need permission to be ourselves. And I walk in a room and I'm like, hey, I'm just like you. I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with depression. Me and my wife get into fights. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm getting older. The hair on the top of my head getting thin. It makes me self-conscious sometimes.
Yep.
I'm becoming an older man. My health isn't what it used to be. I'm struggling with shit. And the other men in the room like, wait, me too. You know, me too. Talk about that a little bit more.
Right. Me too. what you doing, brother? What you doing?
Pick something else to that because that's what it is. And I do two parts. We did a basic, like, just conversation. We talked about everything. We talked about cheating. We talked about sex. We talked about money. We talked about just plain old mental health and family and managing relationships. And then I did a Q&A after.
Mm.
EJ, the joint ended at 4. At 6:30, the men were still in there talking to each other.
God bless. Oh.
Still talking to each other.
Mm. I got goosebumps and I got, like, super emotional because I know that our community needs that.
It was so beautiful, dog. It was so beautiful because you could tell one brother got up and started talking and he ran long, but the things that he was saying, I knew he needed to say it.
He needed to get it out. He needed that space to get it out.
Yeah, yo.
Oh, yeah. The first of many. And before we hop into rapid fire, I want people to understand that
you have, again, you are a man, you are a black man, and you are yourself, which has allowed you to create a career that celebrates who you are. It also has allowed you to share with people your relationship, not just your relationship with Noemi, but your relationship with your daughters. And as a father of two beautiful black girls that will grow up to be two beautiful, strong black women, how do you feel like the responsibility has taken shape in terms of, not only do I have to make sure I protect Kier and show up for Kier first, I have to protect this family unit?
It's shown up in multiple ways. I used to think protection was just physical.
Yep.
You know, get too close to my kids, I'm gonna crush you.
Right.
So,
right.
And I used to think protection was, you know, if my wife is out, she doesn't
walk on the side of the street. Yep.
Like it's a 4,200-pound car. We're both dead.
We're done.
But for me, it's diversifying. Mm-hmm. Like we talk on stage in DeVal, that's diversity of manhood and diversity of. It's me just learning to be more diverse with different things that I believe. It's protection to me is when my daughter is crying about something, you know, I get down on her level and I soften up a little bit and I ask her what's wrong, as opposed to my first instinct to be annoyed as hell.
Right.
You know, or protection to me is when my wife is in the middle of this career change and there's a million ways she could go, helping her build things around her so that she can choose a profession she wants and grow into the woman that she wants to be with my hands off. Mm. You know, protection to me is sometimes when people are out and I'm with my family and they're like, can I get a picture? It's only happened once. Big love to you, but I'm with my family right now.
Yeah, learn.
Protection is making sure they're not on camera when they don't want to be. It's just finding multiple ways to be useful in a way that's intrinsic and native to me. Not just this archetype of what a man is supposed to be, but like my interpretation of manhood that fits my personality, my bandwidth, and just the way that I move around the world. It's been a tough thing to flip my mind, because if you get too close to my family, I still got hands.
Listen,
I'm kidding, DBA. I'm not fighting anybody.
All right, so we've come to the portion of the show, rapid fire. I ask you four questions. And after each question, I will ask you who's on content. And when I say who's on content, it's not a creator. It doesn't have to be a platform. It's just who's on content. Hell, your J's can be on content for one of these questions. All right?
Yeah.
All right. Your favorite form of content. Who's on content?
My favorite form of content is unbridled transparency.
Mm. And for the people that don't know what that is, that might be myself included. What is unbridled transparency?
It's being transparent in a way that allows your full humanness to show. It talks about your mistakes. It doesn't just talk about your triumphs. It doesn't just talk about the story once you climb the mountain. It talks about your actual climb.
Yes,
slip down 20 feet of rocks because you put your hand in the wrong place. I love when people are vulnerable and they leave no stone unturned with their vulnerability and transparency.
Oh, I love that. Okay. You need a reset. Who's on content?
Oh, this is so weird. So there's this guy on YouTube, it's like a guilty pleasure. He does this humane thing where people are infested with rats. He exterminates rats with a mink. Like, they'll put it in a hole and the rats will come out, and he works in conjunction with dogs. I'm sorry. Listen, I am not against violence for animals. These are rat infestation. These farmers call these people. Shout out to the ASPCA.
Yeah.
It is something that is so... It gives me a reset. I don't know why.
It's your cat videos. I love that. You need to be inspired. Who's on content?
Nedra Tawab Glover. Nedra Tawab Glover is a therapist. She's a best-selling author. She is an expert on boundaries. She's a black woman who's a therapist. Mm. I was enough to meet her. It's the first time I've ever been starstruck. It's her. I am truly inspired by the way she approaches the work, the way she is uniquely herself, how elegant and how full body she shows up to the therapeutic space.
I love that. Last rapid fire. When you need to feel joy, who's on content?
When I need to feel joy, man, my family's on content.
Duh, I already knew that.
My youngest is 10 months old. Her cheeks are so fat. She's starting to say,
baby.
She's starting to walk around. My oldest, she's starting to turn into the most brilliant little empath kindergartner you ever met. My wife is, man, I don't even have words. She's the most amazing. person I've ever met in my entire life. Even when she pisses me off and annoys me, she's brilliant beyond measure, and they bring me infinite joy. I lost a lot in terms of family when I was very young.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that life has found a way to deposit so much into my account. I never thought I'd get double the deposit that I did withdraw. So I'm thankful, man.
God is faithful and worthy to be praised. And so we've talked about a lot, right? We've talked about the content of you. The content of you is what allows you to produce content that reaffirms and inspires other people. You are a very successful content creator. You are also a successful licensed therapist. So you've seen the power of self and how reaffirming self allows other people to say, hey, would you promote this product? Hey, would you promote this experience? Because we want other people that look like you or that agree with you to believe that this thing fits in their life in some shape, form, or fashion. With all of the things that's happening in the world, Web3, you know, NFTs, members only clubs are popping up every damn where, because now people are just like, I just need to be around the same like-minded people. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the future of influencer content marketing?
Ooh, man. I think that it's only going to get bigger, because I was just talking to someone who's an actor, like a really well-known actor. And we were just talking about the differences.
Yep.
And people get to know you through characters you've played, movies you've directed.
Talk about it.
That's how they fell in love with you, through all these different things you portray. Here, they fall in love with our actual selves, our personalities, and they get to know our story. They're a legitimate part of our success.
Yes.
It's like Chipotle, the Chipotle model.
Yeah.
With the burritos and stuff. It's the part of the reason the model's so brilliant is because you get to see your food get made at every single station. You feel a part of the process. And that's how influencers are. You're a part of their success. I think it's going to get that. I think it's going to be that way. I think that brands are going to allow influencers to be a lot more, and it's happening now, just give them a lot more freedom in terms of how you produce the content.
Yep.
And I think it's going to get a lot more personal. It's going to get a lot more clever. The production value is going to go up. Yeah, I think it's only going to get better for here. The next generation has so much intel to go off of. Because I feel like we the first battalion.
Listen, we is on the front lines and we are laying the groundwork. And you, brother, are truly the man, the myth, the legend. And I am so grateful to know you, to work with you, to be able to call you brother, and just to see you win. And you, Keir Gaines, not you, Keir Gaines, the influencer, but you, Keir Gaines, win. And so thank you for joining us.
I appreciate that. And shout out to everyone who's ever participated in my content or been a part of my community, whether you're a black man from the south side of Chicago or a mom in Lithuania who's really struggling with parenting. I always wanted the world to see me not as a black man, a black male therapist, but an excellent therapist and an excellent father, community leader, who just so happens to also be black. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about my life a little bit, man.
Of course. Thanks again for listening. Be sure to follow us at The Real DBA and give us a rating and leave us a review. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.